Let's continue. We have been on a pause for some time on the Sabbath day. The topic that I'm going to give today is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So we are going to conclude by the grace of God on the subject of Sabbath. And today we'll be concentrating more on observing the Sabbath day. If you can turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Find a repetition of the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy. And if you can remember, the Ten Commandments are found in the book of Exodus chapter 20, right? Then why did Moses repeat the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy? Anybody know why Moses repeated the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy? The reason is that generation in the book of Exodus, they all died. There's a new generation, except for Joshua and Caleb. Okay, there's a new generation. The children of that generation are the ones who are going to possess the land. So Moses had to remind them the Ten Commandments. And here you see as a reminding, a repetition on a summary, the book of Deuteronomy is given to the children who are really going to possess the land. So here, if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, says here, observe the day, Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of from there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Of course, we remember when we started this study, we first went on the part one, is the fourth commandment applicable to the church today? We lay a grounding on that, and we saw through scripture that is applicable to the church today. Then on part two, we saw the Sabbath day points to the Lord of the Sabbath. Part three, we saw legalism of the Sabbath, how we really came across the ceremonial law and the moral law, and how the ceremonial law was totally abolished in Christ. But the moral law, the Ten Commandments, still continues. Now, when God talks about the Sabbath day, He takes the fourth commandment very seriously. Now, I want to give you some scriptures when He talks about this commandment, especially when it comes to the fourth commandment, this is a commandment where He talks extremely, very seriously. Because it has to do with the name of the Lord, His holy name. It's a day that God has set apart. And Exodus chapter 31, verse 14. Exodus 31, 14 says, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." And Exodus chapter 31, verse 15 says, "For work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever who does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." So here you see, when he talks on the Sabbath, he's talking very seriously. Anybody who violates the Sabbath day, what he's talking, is given the death punishment. Exodus 35 verse 2 says, few pages, Exodus 35 2, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Whenever you see repetition in the Bible, that means God is extremely serious. Repetition. He's reminding over and over again. He's not going to play games here. And you will see in reality what happened to the children of Israel. We see the downfall of Israel after Solomon. The kingdom was divided to two, Israel and Judah. And we see the two kingdoms, they fought with each other for about 60 years. In Israel, you know, the first capital city was Shechem. Then it went to Tirzah. Then after that, Samaria subsequently became the capital city. But we see, you know, there were so many evil kings in Israel. And God brought punishment quickly to Israelites because they profaned the Sabbath day. You will see in 1 Kings, 2 Kings when you read that. And Samaria was captured by the Assyrians. They totally captured. They took about 27,280 men and who dwelt in the land. And after about 253 years, the whole kingdom came to an end. They were scattered all over the people. But the kingdom of Judah, on the other hand, there were also evil kings, but also there were some good kings that reigned in the kingdom of Judah. Judah held its ground against Assyria for 123 years, but you can see during this time there was the prophet Jeremiah was there during the time of Hosea in the work of the Reformation. Jeremiah helped a lot King Hosea during the time of the Reformation. But after the death of Hosea came the downfall of Judah too. And then came Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who saw, you know, the Reformation. Then he also saw the downfall of Judah. And he came, the weeping prophet, calling Judah to repent as they have violated the Sabbath. And false prophets were promising prosperity while Jeremiah was telling them to repent and telling them judgment is coming. But the people, they believed prosperity, peace, instead of the judgment that is going to come. Nebuchadnezzar came in 589 BC. And that's the end of Judah. Judah was conquered and besieged the city. And Judah itself was, many people, young people were carried off to Babylon. Then we see Jeremiah weeping. And he's like, how can this be? He himself was shocked. Whenever you see to your own eyes something happening, he was totally shocked to see the massacre that happened in Judah. Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentation, we see that Jeremiah the prophet mourning over the desolation brought on the city. And the book of Lamentation is written more like a national funeral on the capture and the destruction of Jerusalem. If you turn with me to Lamentation chapter 1 verse 18, Jeremiah the prophet, it's about 5 chapters, Lamentation chapter 1 verse 18. Lamentations 1:18 says, the Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against His commandment. You see, the commandments were broken. What did God say? You break my commandments, you are going to put to death. And hear now, all peoples, and behold my sorrow, my virgins and my young men have gone into captivity to Babylon. Then turn with me to Lamentations chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. chapter 2, 5 to 6. The Lord was angry. No, the Lord was like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He has destroyed her strongholds. And he has increased mourning and lamentation in the daughter of Judah. Verse 6. He has done violence to his tabernacle as it were a garden. He has destroyed his place of assembly. The Lord has caused the appointed feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. In his burning indignation, he has spurned the king and the priest. Wow. You know, it's amazing. Because people were listening to false prophets. Like today. People were listening to things that they would like to listen. And people were listening to false prophets, false teachings. They didn't want to listen to sin and judgment that is going to come. See Lamentations chapter 3 verse 14. 2:14. The prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity. They didn't expose sin of the people. Today, people don't preach sin. They don't want to expose sin. They will lose money. They don't want people to leave the churches. So here, they didn't expose. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for your false prophecies and delusions, their own imaginations. Actually, you don't have to turn with me. You can cross-reference that to Jeremiah chapter 23, 25 to 29. All these false prophets came and prophesied after their own imaginations. Now, one thing we need to remember is, whoever thought that Jerusalem can be conquered? You know, Jerusalem, Judah, okay? The capital of Judah was Jerusalem. They never thought all this. Jeremiah was preaching the judgment to come. Was preaching repentance. At the same time, there were false prophets preaching promises, prosperity. And they said, Jeremiah, how can this be? Oh, what do you mean to say? The judgment is come? To Jerusalem? We got everything. Look at the walls. Look at the walls. Who can infiltrate the walls? How can the enemy come? We have peace. We have security. In the same way, we in this country, we think, judgment. How can that come? We are the richest people on the earth. We have money in the bank. We got good jobs. We have everything. What do you mean judgment? And look, Jeremiah chapter 4, Lamentations 4:12. It says, the kings of the earth and all inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. Tell you. God's word, when he says, it's going to happen. It's going to happen against all the odds. Because God's word is true. And today we are living in the days of Jeremiah. There's a great falling away of the church. They have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. People are looking for churches where they want to be comfortable, like the days of Jeremiah. There's no true repentance preached. And as a result, the churches are packed with unconverted, worldly people who are violating the Sabbath day. Now, what about the other days? Why only Sabbath day we need to focus on God? What about the other days? What about the rest of the days? It is true that we ought to focus God on every day. It is true that we need to strive to live a heavenly life on this earth, leaving behind all our worldly passions. We are living in a sinful world. God knows we are surrounded by this evil earthly nature. We are struggling daily with all kinds of problems and temptations on this earth. And also, because of that, we are living in our flesh. We are weak in the flesh. We cannot live a perfect life on this earth. Absolutely not. We cannot live a life of angels on this earth. We cannot. And we work daily. Every day we work. And we had to provide for our families food. And we cannot concentrate totally on the Lord when we are at work. Can we? We can. Impossible. We are unable to fulfill our whole duties, our desires to the Lord when we are at work. So God, seeing our lack of discipline and our weaknesses, He releases us from that bondage, and He's satisfied by giving us one day to worship Him. He has given us 6 days for us to work. Then, of course, we are not saying for the rest of the 6 days we are going to live like the devil. No. We are going to be the lights to the world. But we cannot totally concentrate and worship God the rest of the 6 days because we are at work. We've got to do our laundry. We've got to go to the grocery store. We've got to go to the post office, to the bank. We've got to travel. So we got to do our education, go to school, other activities. So God knowing, and He has given us a whole day to serve Him and to worship Him, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. And the first thing we need to, whenever you come to the Sabbath day, the first thing God says is remember the Sabbath day. And that means we need to, that a church attendance is very important. Attending church. By attending church, you're separating all the worldly activities by attending church. If you're not here today, you're doing something else. And by attending church, you're concentrating on the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. And it is a time for brothers and sisters to join together in the Lord, in one spirit and in one mind. We need to have one church, not church hopping from one church to another church. For a little while, I don't like that church, go to another church. That's church hopping. You need to have a home church that you will know the pastor personally. You can call your brothers and sisters anytime you want to. You become friendly, intimate, on the phone, for prayer and for edification. A place that you will grow spiritually. A place you can get involved in serving the Lord. A place where you can approach the pastor and have dinner or lunch. A place you can call, "This is my family." Let us read the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 28, I'm going to read that for you, talking about the church. We believe, this is a confession, we believe since the Holy Congregation is an assembly of those who are saved, and outside of it there is no salvation, that no person, whatsoever state or condition he may be, ought to withdraw from it, content to be by himself, but that all men are in duty bound to join and unite themselves with it, maintaining the unity of the church, submitting themselves to the doctrine and discipline thereof, bowing their necks under the yoke of Christ, and as mutual members of the same body, serving to the edification of the brethren according to the talents God has given them. and that this may be more effectually observed, it is the duty of all believers according to the word of God to separate themselves from all those who do not belong to the church and to join themselves to this congregation, whosoever God has established it, even though the magistrates and princes were against it. Even though if the government is against, you need to come to church, you need to join a church, have a home church. They should suffer, even if they had to suffer death or punishment, if they say you need to have a home church. Therefore, all those who separate themselves from the same or do not join themselves to it is an act of contrary to the ordinance of God. In the Heidelberg Confession Catechism on Lord's Day, it says, what does God require in the fourth commandment? It says here, one of the things it says here, in first place, God wills that the ministry of the gospel and schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the day of rest, diligently attend church. To learn the word of God, to use the holy sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian alms. In the second place, all the days of my life I rest from my evil works, allow the Lord to work in me by His Spirit, and thus begins in his life the everlasting Sabbath. Psalm 84:4, you don't have to turn with me. Psalm 84:4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they are still praising thee. Blessed are they that who dwell in the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. But today we see the churches and many people, they have failed to acknowledge the Lord's Day. I want to go through one by one here now, so we can understand what we are talking here. One of the ways that we fail to acknowledge the Lord's Day is that a lot of people, they work on Sunday. Christians, calling themselves Christians, they work on Sunday, breaking the fourth commandment. There are many who will work on Sunday because of their job situation. If you're working in a restaurant, in a grocery store, or a shopping mall, or doing some security work, or a hospital, or an airport, or a business, they're open on Sundays. Your boss says, you had to come to work on Sunday. And you say, oh, I can't. Well, you got to come. Otherwise, you're fired. So what do? Many will compromise. And as they say, God understands my situation and my job situation, that I cannot attend church because I'm working on Sunday. Question: can you violate the fourth commandment on the account of money? Or your job? And your job? Can you violate it? Before I was a Christian, my line of work was in the hotel industry. I worked Sundays. I wasn't a Christian. Then when I became an Armenian, I worked Sundays too. Because I did not know the fourth commandment. I thought there is no fourth commandment. But praise the Lord, He gave me the ability to change my career, change my line of work. And I don't have to work on Sundays. And I will never work on Sundays. Because a Sunday is a day that I worship my God. And I will never forget when Tony, there was a time that he was out of work for a while. Then he found a job later on, and his boss said that he has to work on Sunday. And he said, no, I had to attend church on Sunday. And he didn't give up, and he didn't work. Praise God. God gave. God, you know, he refused in obedience to the Lord. He needs the money. He has to take care of his mom. But he trusted in the Lord, because God is in control of the universe. God gave Tony the job, and also God gave Tony the delight on serving the Lord on Sunday. We are to keep the Lord's day holy. Means we need to separate from worldly activities, and we need to worship the Lord. So many people, we have all kinds of pleasures on this day. It is a day of joy. It is a day of joy serving the Lord. Now, how about doing business on the Sabbath day? Business people, store owners, you know, people selling fruits, people, you know, anything selling on that day, they are violating the commandment of God. This will, you know, I need to put people who say they are Christians and they are sports stars, you know, who play basketball and tennis and, what is it, baseball. They violate the commandment of God. You know, if you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15 to 18. It was written after the captivity. All, you know, God brought the Jews back to Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, Nehemiah has to do a lot of reformation here. Not only teach the word of God, but to teach everything, because the Jews were totally, they did not know the word of God. So Nehemiah chapter 13. The Bible, the order of the Bible doesn't flow according to the dates and the times in our new Bible, okay? And anyway, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15. Says here, in those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Verse 16, men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us, on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And here we see they were selling on the Sabbath day, and people were buying on the Sabbath day. People who sell and people who buy are all guilty. You know, the Buddhists, they eat meat. But the Buddhists, they're not supposed to kill anything. It's according to their doctrine, you don't kill anything. But they go and eat meat. Now, the Muslims, the butchers, are all Muslims. There are no Buddhists. You don't find Buddhist people who are killing the calf and, you know, who are the butcher, because they are not supposed to kill it. So who is the butcher? The Muslims. The Muslims say, we kill because the Buddhists eat. And the Buddhists, you know, it's two people are involved here. And if you buy anything on the Sabbath day, you're guilty too. You've got to do everything on Saturday. And we are all guilty on this. all guilty. How about the worldly pleasure on Sabbath day? All the sports, huh? All the games and everything happens on the Sabbath day. And so there are some people who say they are Christians, and they are playing these sports on the Sabbath day. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. My holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. The phrase here, turn your foot, is a way of saying changing your habit, changing your direction. Okay, it's God means it, because of the Sabbath, you change your habit of doing your own pleasure on my holy day. How many people wait for the weekend? There's no difference between Saturday and Sunday. Sunday is just reserved to just relax and watch the sports, the basketball, the tennis, the football, and just sitting and watching that TV, breaking the Sabbath day. Or some people, on the Sabbath day, they go to amusement parks, Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, Magic Mountain, or going to the movies on the Sabbath day, or go to the video place and rent movies on the Sabbath day. You're breaking the Sabbath. This is exactly what happened to Judah and Israelites. They were hiding and they were breaking secretly, you know, not openly. Some people did doing secretly, they were breaking the Sabbath day. But God brought judgment. But enjoy going shopping, malling, even playing indoor games, cards, all kinds of dicing games. I'm preaching this sermon, what the Puritans and what others preach. We don't hear these things today because we are not used to it. These are an abomination to the Lord. Any kind of games is not right. You are violating the fourth commandment. And you are not bringing honor to God on that day. You are bringing dishonor to God on that day. Yes, you know, God says, this is not right. You are finding time for your own pleasure, delighting in the lust of the flesh on the Lord's day. Finding the true delight is what? As Psalmist said, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God. And his law he meditates is day and night. That's the Sabbath day. The early Christians were excited on the Lord's day. They were so excited when it comes to the Lord's day. It's not a burden, it's a joy to rejoice and to give thanks to the Lord and to praise him for what he has done. They were so excited. But some say, look, it's raining, what lousy weather it is. It's not right. But on the Sabbath day, there are some who are engaged in gossip, foolish talk, enjoying their foods with all kinds of gossip. And also you see in churches where the man and woman, they kind of have a loose behavior in front of other people on the Lord's day. It's just not right. There are others who spend the Lord's Sabbath day in idleness, in a lazy, slothful manner,
they sleep the whole day. This is my rest day. When God says rest day, He's not talking that kind of rest. Major part of the morning, they are sleeping. So what we are seeking is not sleeping in idleness, but rest means we are temporarily ceasing from our work and we are worshiping God. Resting in God, not resting in your sleep. Worshiping God and serving Him. There are others who come to church, and during the sermon, they are sleeping. Sleeping in the church in the time of service, have a big breakfast, come to church, sit in a chair, go to sleep. Enemy is saying, go to sleep. He's giving sleeping tablets while you're there. I mean, he's putting you to sleep. And there are some, during the preacher is preaching, they don't even look at the preacher. I mean, they are studying on their own. They don't want to listen. They think they know better than the preacher. And there are some who will look at the pastor while they are preaching, but their mind is somewhere else. They're really looking, but their mind is maybe so many miles away, some other place. You know, the devil comes and takes them on a journey. Their minds are not present. But only, you know, just imagine, if you are watching a football game, or some kind of a sports event, or watching TV, your mind is totally glued to that. And you don't want anybody to come and disturb you. Because you're watching the game. And something happened. What happened? You disturb me. You get angry. But when it comes to the Word of God, what happened? The devil is deceiving. I mean, this is where we are not fighting against flesh and blood, against all evil forces. We are fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the spiritual world. It's a spiritual battle. That's why when you come, we need to prepare our hearts before we hear the Word of God. I'll tell you, God said in the book of Isaiah, if people come, their hearts were not right. They come on the Sabbath day, Isaiah 1:13, if you turn with me. 1:13 says, starting from 1:12, says here, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices, incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbath, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meetings. God says, I hate it. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm going to hide my eyes from you. And you're going to pray. I'm not going to hear your prayers. Because your hearts are not right. So your mind will be here, you will be present, but if your hearts are not right, what good is it? J.C. Riley said, how many makes the Lord's Day for giving dinner parties a day for looking over their accounts and making up their books, a day for going unnecessary journeys and quietly transacting worldly business, a day for reading newspapers, a day for reading novels, a day for talking politics, a day that they will do idle gossip, a day in short for anything rather than the things of the Lord. Matthew Henry said, on Sabbath days we must not follow our callings, our pleasures. In all we say and do, we must put a difference between this day and the rest of the days. Even in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was called the Lord's Day, and it is fitly called so still, and for further reason, it is
Lord Christ's day, Revelation 1:10. If we thus remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we shall have the comfort and profit of it, and have reason to say it is good to draw near to God. That's Matthew Henry. Now, how to observe the Sabbath day? Because God says, remember the Sabbath day. The word remember in Hebrew is Zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. It is used about 200 times in the Old Testament. It really means, whenever you say God says remember, it means to bring it to your mind. It means to consider. You know, remember, consider. Bring it to your mind. So God wants us not to forget, but how important the fourth commandment is. So our main object on the Sabbath day is to focus on the Lord, to keep the day holy. This is a day that we can glorify God. It is not a day of burden, as I told you, but it's a day of rejoicing, and it's a day of delight. But we cannot serve God properly unless we put to death our carnality, right? Unless we crucify ourselves, unless we separate from the world, we cannot totally worship God. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, you don't have to turn, you know, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not, but Christ lives in me. So we need to, that's why we need to be separated. This is a day that is holy, totally a day that is totally different, unique day that God has given us. Now, on the Sabbath day, we can do religious duties. You know, the pastor's, his work is done on the Sabbath day, right? It is a day that he will preach and teach his congregation. I wake up very early in the morning to study, because I work the rest of the days, and usually Saturday is a good day for me to study. And Larry knows that she doesn't disturb me on Saturdays unless we had to do something. I take a little bit time for us to do our errands. But when it comes to Sunday morning, she never disturbs me, because I wake up early morning, 4 o'clock, and I study until about 9:30, 10 sometimes. Saturday, most of the day, I'm studying. Because that's the day I can really get everything done, because the rest of the time I have no time, because I'm working, busy. So here I can give good spiritual nourishment for the flock, for their growth. So the sermon that you hear on Sunday, you need to convert that into prayer. And meditate for the rest of the day. You need to search the scriptures on your own. A lot of times when you hear, you know, we may forget. But if you are doing on your own, searching the scriptures, you will remember more. And it's a day that we can go witnessing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a religious duty on the Sabbath day. You can pass tracts on the Sabbath day. You can preach the gospel. You can plant the seed. You can encourage one another, advise one another, correct one another. Okay? And if you happen to go home early, observe the Sabbath day at home. Because Deuteronomy, if you remember, chapter 5, verse 14 says, 7 days of Sabbath unto the Lord, thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant. It goes to the whole family there. It is given to the family. It's a day of family worship. And also, we can do works of mercy. If you can remember, it's a day to do good, really. If you can remember, there was a man who was he had a withered hand, and the Pharisees were looking at Jesus to see if he's going to heal him or not. Sabbath day is going to break the Sabbath day for them. Their Sabbath day, Mori, was very different. But Jesus said to them, if you have a sheep, and that sheep falls into a well, will you not help that sheep to get out? How much are you, you know, you are more worth than the sheep. So if the Sabbath is given for us to do good, if somebody is sick, okay, if somebody is not feeling good, it's a day that we can go and pray for that person. So Sabbath was made for man, so we can glorify God and worship Him. And we can show the world not only what we know, but in our fruits, what we do, the world will see that we are different. It's a day that we can clothe the poor. It's a day that we can feed the hungry. It's a day that we can visit the sick. It's a day that we can pray for the sick. The great healing day is the Sabbath day. Healing for the soul from the Word of God, and also nourishing your soul. Of course, if an absolute necessity happens, like a fire breaks out in your house, something like that, then you cannot attend church, right? These are absolute necessities. If somebody falls into the well, you cannot. It's a very emergency, if you're really sick, you know, like that, then you cannot attend. There are absolute necessities. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Start from verse 8. For if Joshua has given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The author of Hebrews is going back to Joshua. Joshua in the Old Testament, we see the substance of the gospel was preached in the Old Testament, and the gospel was preached in the New Testament. That's the only way you can be saved. So there has been in all ages, when the gospel is preached, unprofitable hearers who hear the gospel, doesn't profit of it. It's not profitable, it's unprofitable. Because you see, there's no fruits, there's no change of life. Life doesn't change. Because, why? Because they're unbelief. Because of their unbelief. There's no life changing on hearing the word. It's a partial hearing. And it's the faith is kind of wavering faith. They doubt the word of God. And that's what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. They were disobedient to the word of God, and they could not enter the land of rest, except for Joshua and Caleb. God in His creation, He finished His work, right? And then He rested from it. So He will cause for those who believe to finish our work, and then that we can also enjoy our rest. So it is evident, when he's talking here in the book of Hebrews, there is a spiritual rest and an excellent Sabbath remaining for us. Okay? And as we are going on this earth, it's a rough journey, right? It's a weary journey. But there is a rest that is remaining for us one day. And that's a heavenly rest.
heavenly rest that's remaining for the people of God. And that rest is going to be in glory. This is not an earthly rest, but a heavenly rest. But those who do not believe shall not enter this spiritual rest. Either, you know, we are only way we are going to have this rest is only by God's grace, right? God has always declared man's rest to be in Him and His love to be the only real happiness for our souls. And He has given us His Son. The only way we can enter this rest is through His Son. Yet there is this eternal rest at the end of our weary journey on this earth. We are like the pilgrims right now, passing by, but it's a weary journey with all kinds of temptations around us. It's not easy even to come on the Lord's Day for us here, right? Sometimes the devil will put all kinds of stumbling blocks, difficulties, doesn't want you to attend the church. But still, we are striving. Huh? We are still going on this weary journey, taking the narrow road, agonizing. But because our mind is focused on heaven. Our mind is focused on heaven, not on earthly things. With that, mind is focused on heaven. We are looking for that eternal rest. A rest that we can really rest in God. And Revelation 21:1, this is the ultimate Sabbath. Okay, Revelation 21:1, you know, that we are going to totally rest in God. New heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Of course, we know when we see this, we will have also a new body, right? No more sin. This is where we will be glorified. Our bodies will be glorified. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. You don't have to come here anymore. That's going to be the eternal rest. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be with their God. Wow! What a rest is that going to be? To be with God together. That's the eternal rest. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I'll tell you, if there's no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, isn't that rest? Huh? Isn't that an eternal rest? Wow. So, we need to focus on heavenly things. Crucify this flesh. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. The Word of God is here to comfort you. It's the Word of God. Get into the Word. The Word of God is there to comfort you and to guide you. Let's pray.